Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
His glory forever.
So I want to take you back a few hundred years to that Sunday of Orthodoxy that occurred in the year 843, in which the very first of these icon processions that we just engaged in took place. The icon procession that took place on March 11, 843 was not like this one. It wasn't a nice, tame, indoors affair where just the priests carried icons. It also was not like this one in the sense of the context for it. Because the context for that original procession was that the church had just been through hell and back as it struggled with the emperor's desire to dominate the church and to stamp out any usage of the holy icons. Yes, there had been the Seventh Ecumenical Council in 787, so that was a while ago now, and there still had been emperors who were still trying to stamp out the use of icons in the churches. And now, finally, March 11, 843, the Empress and her young son had declared that the use of icons in the churches was okay, was good, was going to be permitted by the imperial family. And as a symbol of that, everybody gathered at the imperial palace of La Chenée, just outside the walls of Constantinople. Everybody, and I mean everybody, grabbed an icon, and they all processed in a huge, noisy crowd up the streets of Constantinople, through the city gates, to the great church of Hagia Sophia. So that means, like all of you and more, the whole population of the city was turned out for this, carrying the holy icons in this grand procession that was the climax of this great struggle that they had undergone for a generation or more. In some ways, we can see this feast that we are celebrating, this occasion that we are commemorating, as a celebration of the triumph of the truth, but also of religious freedom. Fast forward to, 2017. We are in full possession of religious freedom. Nobody has been persecuting us, or our mothers, or our fathers, or our ancestors, for decorating our churches with holy icons. For a long time now, nobody's been going around ripping them down and replacing them with murals of the emperor hunting. We are richly, richly blessed. But my question to all of us, myself included, is what are we doing with this blessing? I am the son, on the one hand, of a descendant of an immigrant from England. So on my father's side, I'm a member of the colonial establishment that helped to the British found this great nation of Canada and then opened the doors to all and sundry to come. On the other hand, on my mother's side, I'm descended from the Mennonites, who came from Russia to settle in this great land of Canada and to do some farming. One of the things that the Mennonites had in common with many of your forefathers, parents, grandparents, who came to this country, was they recognized that on the one hand, Canada was a land of opportunity. It was a land where they could worship in freedom. It was a land where they could practice the jobs that they were good at and get some money for them and maybe make a little more money than they would have made back at home. On the other hand, Canada was this weird thing which didn't have much of a culture. In some cases, it didn't have much of anything. Some of the first settlers on the prairies came, some of my English forebears, came to the prairies, took one look at this vast expanse of grass and sky, and went home again. Because it was scary. It was nothing they'd ever seen. But my Mennonite forebears and the Ukrainian immigrants to the prairies and the Greeks who came here and the Russians who came here, and all of the various immigrants who came here from religious backgrounds, and particularly from Orthodox backgrounds, which is what we're considering today, they generally did two things. One, they got to work and built themselves homes, or bought homes if they moved to the cities. And two, they got to work and they built churches, or they funded churches if they were in the cities. They were doing the same thing that the people in procession in the year 843 were doing. Just took them a little longer to do it. They were coming with the blessing of the government and coming into a place that was empty of sacredness, and putting into it icons of holiness. In their case, it wasn't necessarily paint, although obviously there's been some really nice painting going on here. But more importantly, it was them. Them living out their lives as followers of Jesus Christ, becoming living icons. That sacrifice is what we are remembering today. It is the continuation of the sacrifice commemorated in the Synodicon of Orthodoxy. For all those people for whom we are singing Memory Eternal are the saints who have gone before, known and unknown. They are the heritage that brings us here today. And the gift that they give us is the gift of Hagia Sophia, decorated with icons, living icons, in the heavens, the saints who have gone before us. Which brings us back to the question, what are we doing with what we have been given? We have this blessing, a beautiful church decorated with holy icons for which we have not labored, for which we have not struggled, for which we have not shed our blood. We are faced now with, on the one hand, this beautiful heritage, but on the other hand, a land which still does not know Jesus as Lord and God and Savior and truth and joy and peace and all that they are yearning for. It is our job to continue the work that our ancestors began, both in the year 843 and in the generations following 1867. It is our job to carry on the work of decorating the land around us with icons of holiness. This is what we are embarked on again as we again begin the struggle of Great Lent. It is our job to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. It is our job to become holy, because that is the only thing that will reveal Jesus Christ to our nation. That is the only thing that will baptize the culture that we now find ourselves in. That is the only thing that will save our people, is if we live out that rich tradition of the holy apostles and the teachings of Jesus Christ that has been handed down to us. It's useless if we don't live it out. As I've said many times to my own parishioners, if you can have the greatest exercise program in the world, you can have it, that wonderful exercise program framed and put up on your wall. This is how you need to do the first set of postures. This is how you need to do the second set of postures. If you don't actually do the exercise, it's useless to you. So my encouragement to each and every one of us, myself included, is that we need to follow the example of the holy men and women who have preceded us, who have gifted us with this. We need to do the hard work of working out our salvation in fear and trembling, of engaging with the teachings of Christ, and in the hard work of repentance and holiness. Only this way will we be able to become what we were created to be. The kingdom of God here on earth. A city on a hill which cannot be hidden. A light which shines to the ends of the universe. The love of Jesus Christ to his glory. Glory to the Father.